Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When they framed the federal constitution and they were reflecting a lot of the thinking in most of the state constitutions, they believed you needed to separate and disperse power and that you needed to make sure each branch had the mechanism to be able to defend their own prerogatives. But they fully anticipated people being in certain branches would try to utilize the authority that they were given to the fullest extent. And that's really the structural constitution is how your liberties are protected, even more, at least in theory, when it operates properly, than even a Bill of Rights would do.
Okay, so, yeah, good. This is Governor DeSantis speaking at the Federalist Society on Thursday, talking about the value of separation of powers, that some people, some, you know, either malicious actors or arrogant actors or, you know, power-hungry, crazed leaders would try to abuse their power by doing more than they're really supposed to be doing, or would just try to, you know, exert authority in any form of government, and there's supposed to be checks and balances, separation of powers, right? And I know some of you are already starting to think, now, you know, I've heard of such a thing. It hasn't he actually done some of the... Okay, you know, just hang out, you know, hang out. Let's let the man talk. Let him cook.
I became governor. I got elected, and I told my folks during the transition, I was like, I want a binder of every piece of authority that the governor has: constitutional authority, statutory authority, customary authority, maybe things I can do that people are just going to have to fight me on. Well, what I need to know all the different levers that I have at my disposal.
So, in respect of the separation of powers and checks and balances and limited government and humility and leadership, the first thing I did when I came into office is I said, give me a list of everything I can do. Everything. Okay. Which he quite frankly says is, you know, what's statutory, what's constitutional, what's customary, what powers do I have? But again, if the premise is separation of powers and humility, which, by the way, is a theological outgrowth, you say, what? Okay, I know. It's early. I'm sorry. It's 5:13. We're going to do a little, you know, political theology. Do you know why the founders believed in limited government checks and balances? I mean, yes, it's rhetorical. I know the answer. But, you know, and I don't expect you to say, because, you know, you can raise your hand and text me. But do you know why? They didn't believe in a king, for example, even though, you know, they had just come out from under one. Do you know why? Because they believed that man was sinful. Theologically, I know there was a mixture of religious viewpoints among the founding fathers, but they all understood that historically, man tries to accumulate more power and then accumulate more power and then accumulate more power. And the more power any individual has, the worse things get. And it's because man has a sinful nature. So because man has a sinful nature, you have to limit him. You have to put restrictions on him. You have to make government difficult because government carries a lot of potential and you don't want it to have a lot of potential. You want it to be limited and structured and do just the good things and not the bad things, right? Okay, so flawed, sinful man can't be trusted with power. So what you do is you put in a system of government that's meant to work with those flawed, sinful people and not get too awful an outcome. The contrast to that is, give me every ability that I can get so I can do everything that I want to do, which appears to be Governor DeSantis's view of his own power. I want to know all the things I can do, and I believe in separation of powers for other people. I believe in checks and balances for other people. I will use, you know, my power to put who I want on the Board of Trustees, regardless of what any of the locals or what the Senate wants. I will use my power to bully the legislature when they won't do what I want in order to get the outcomes that I want, because I believe that I'm righteous and they're a bunch of idiots who aren't doing conservative things, aren't doing what the voters. I mean, if you start to play with this, it'll be like, but you get this in your speech and yet you're doing the opposite. Okay.
I came in, you know, typical kind of divided electorate, and people were like, hey, you know, you got to buy, just keep your head down, don't rock the boat or whatever. And I understood that because that's a political way of thinking. But I also understood I won the election. They didn't give me half of the executive power. They gave me 100% of the executive power by virtue of me winning the vote.
Which he led into this by talking about how close the vote was. I mean, it was a recount, in case you remember. You know, we almost got Governor Andrew Gillum and all the sordid craziness that that would have entailed based on subsequent events that we found out about, right? But it was close. I mean, it was a 43,000, if I remember correctly, the recount difference. So, and he says a lot of people were advising him to, you know, take it easy. You barely have a majority. Govern cautiously, you know, right? And, of course, he did the exact opposite. He said he's leaning in the direction of the, you know, I only got barely 50.5% or whatever, maybe not even a half, but I'm going to govern like I got 100% because it's winner take all. Winner gets all the power. You don't have to share power with the, you know, the guy who lost the race. So I'm going to do everything I want to do.
And so I intend to use that, and I'm going to take the agenda that I ran on, and I'm going to exhaust every bit of authority I have to be able to not only further that agenda, but to actually have that agenda stick, so it's not just some superficial victory that ends up withering on the vine. And so we were very mindful of doing that, really, really from day one.
I'm going to do everything I can. Stop me. Do you remember the first comment about separation of powers and checks and balances and the premise of our government and what the founders believed about flawed humans? Okay, so interesting, and you can't disagree that he's done that. And sometimes on things that I very much agree with and sometimes on things that I very much disagree with, I would say, you know, first term, largely agree. Second term, not as much. But even in the second term, he's done some things I very much agree with. So here's where it got really interesting. This is... This is an almost amazing thing to hear Governor DeSantis say out loud in public in a speech he wrote. Or somebody wrote for him, but I mean, he's a governor. I don't know how much speech writing he gets done for him, but he says this, and it's a two-parter, so stick with me, okay? The first part is talking about how, you know, they retired a bunch of debt, controlled the budget. In the federal government, the president has limited power to do this, but in the state government, because of the line item veto, he has a lot of power. Ready?
With me, I can get that budget. I go line by line, and I'm able to see what's good, what's not good. So the total amount I vetoed is about $10 billion over 7 years. To put that in perspective, the most that any governor had vetoed in any 1 year prior to me becoming governor, I think, was Jeb Bush. I think he did $600 or $800 million in one budget year. We hit $3.3 billion in one budget year of vetoes. That was 3% of the budget that we were able to veto. But that gave us the ability to be able to retire debt, run surpluses. We've quadrupled our rainy day fund. If I did not have that line item veto authority, then we probably, you know, would not have been able to have the fiscal successes, at least to the extent that we've had.
And so far, so good, right? Five times as much line item veto use as even the next number two, Jeb Bush, you know, $600 million versus $3 billion, okay? And helped control the budget, helped get us, you know, retire debt, which he did work down a lot of debt. All of that. Okay, fine. That's not the interesting part. John, you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the clip that we've been building towards. It made a little bit of headlines, but, you know, I was actually having a conversation with somebody yesterday who said, why don't you like AI? And I'm like, I don't trust it. It's purporting to replace humans, me, everything that I have spent my whole life being quite good at, and I'm quite good at what I'm quite good at. And I don't trust it. In fact, I don't trust other humans. I mean, if somebody writes a report about a speech, you know, there's some news article about a speech. John, do I go with what they wrote or do I listen to the speech?
You actually listen to the speech.
100%. That's right. Because I don't trust that even another highly skilled human who's got a job reporting on things has gotten it right, has picked up the nuance, the what's interesting, what's funny, what's significant. I want to listen to the speech. Well, if I don't even trust my fellow journalists to get it right, why on God's earth would I trust AI to get it right? And I hope, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, since you're listening, that you've made a decision at some point, maybe today, maybe yesterday, maybe 5 years ago, that you like my approach and you trust my ability to do this. All right. Well, this was one of those like, no, he didn't really say that. Did he say that? He didn't really say that. Listen, he really said what it was reported that he said. And I know I'm not telling you. I want you to hear it for yourself. Ready?
The other thing it just lets you do from a matter of power.
Sorry, the clip is weird. The other thing
it just lets you do from a matter of power politics is, you know, if I have a priority of mine legislatively that's in front of the legislature, like the last week of a legislative session, you know, if the members are supporting good policy, then, you know, I see their budget items. That's just something you take into account. I mean, if they're being difficult on things that are important to our voters, because that's really the fight is really who's going to represent the voters that we got elected to serve and who kind of is doing their own agenda. And Republicans get into trouble when they run on an agenda and then they go up and do different things than what they told. And I think we've seen that in different parts of the country. But so like I'm fighting, hey, we told our voters we're going to do this. We got to do it. There's resistance to that. That's just the nature of what you deal with. And so fine, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. Well, I am going to see that budget. And, you know, man, you know, yeah, there's that road. Oh, really? Okay, yeah, you need a road. Oh, I'm sure that's good. Oh, wait a minute. You know, where were you on our tort reform? Where were you on school choice? Oh, well, I don't know. You know, so you just do it, right?
Now, I think if you casually listen to that and aren't thinking about what he's saying, it might actually not sound like much. But I know John's eyes are like saucers over here. John, what did you hear him say?
I heard him say, if you don't follow me and do what I say, I'm going to hurt you.
I'm going to screw your projects.
Yes.
Now, we have a particular awareness.
Right. We are really aware of this.
Living in the district that is Alex Andrade's district and to some degree Michelle Salzman's district. And we have seen this firsthand, that if you dare cross the governor, even when he is wrong and his people have engaged in at least what looks super sketchy, if not illegal, although to date, no actual indictments have been brought, okay? Oh, man, good luck getting anything through the budget because he can line item punish you. And he has done exactly that. Oh, not because the project's a bad one. Not because the people didn't want the project. But as a way of getting you in line, bullying all legislators through the use and or threat of the line item veto. He spent a whole other section of the speech bragging about how he's removed people from office, and I think sometimes rightly so, like, you know, sheriffs, for example, or state attorneys, and then talking about how, you know, the good side of that is they are no longer doing wrong things with impunity. They're scared. The not so great part about that is that they're all so scared that they're more focused on doing DeSantis's bidding than they are in doing the will of the people as they see it. Because you catch the underlying theme in what he's saying is, I am the arbiter of the will of the people. I am the standard of what the people want. And if you dare to go against me, then you're going against bad policy and I'm going to use my line item veto to punish you for it. Well, is there any humility in that? Is there any recognition of separation of powers, checks and balances, that the legislature is also elected and also represents or reflects the will of the people and is also, by the way, able to talk most closely with its constituents? There's no such recognition. I mean, he literally came out and said, I will punish you if you don't do what I want in the legislature. I will take away the funding for your projects that you've worked all session to get through this process because in his mind, you're thwarting the will of the people. In practice, because you do anything that he doesn't like, you piss him off, you criticize his friends, you tell the world that his attorney general is not a good guy and has done corrupt things. I mean, this is an amazing admission. And he says it right out in the open at the Federalist Society. Now, to come back a little bit, I mean, I really wrestled with the question of what do I do if he runs for president? Because ideologically, I align a lot with Governor DeSantis. But practically, when the man has gotten power, and he has no doubt shaped Florida in his image, in a good way in a lot of ways. You know, it's a red state. It's no longer an up-for-grab state, right? They didn't spend any money here in the last presidential election. Why? Because it was a guaranteed outcome. But that power has gone to his head in a way that he's just so sure of his own righteousness that he does whatever he wants in order to get more of what he wants. It's exactly the problem the founders were concerned about, is that somebody accumulates power and then they use it however they want in order to accumulate more power. And he has certainly done that. Taking people off boards who dare to question him, Andy Hobbs. There are replete examples of this. And it's not a good thing to imagine what would that habit do if it were in the White House. Right? Now, every election is a matter of this versus that. You know, give me my actual choices and then I have to decide. Because no matter how good or bad somebody is, there might be somebody better or there might be somebody worse. And, you know, every election is a real choice between real alternatives. But, I'll tell you, in the rest of the speech, there was a lot of very good stuff. There was a genuinely good stuff. It's a weird mixture of horrifying and fantastic. A little bit like his administration. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-2013 or biglou.com.
Today on Pep Talk, Pensacola Energy representatives Diane Moore and Coraline Molinari will update for you Pensacola Energy's new bill payment system. Diane and Coraline will explain everything you need to know about how the new bill payment system works and how to make the most of the new features the system offers. That's today at 9 with Pensacola Energy on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Snoochie Boochies. I refuse the love you had for me. I refuse the love a little bit.
I think I need to add Jay Giles Band to my list to go investigate their other albums, because I know a lot of their
really
songs,
good.
But I don't know all of their songs. And, I'm doing Tom Petty and Bon Jovi right now, or my go back and excavate their discography and find other cool bumpers that, you know, I didn't maybe know about before. And sometimes that's a disappointing process, but sometimes you strike gold and I'll take it. It's also interesting to listen to these artists and, you know, what they made for music before they made it, really, you know, and you think about people love their first album, or, you know, people knew about them before they were really famous. And then how did they get a second album? In some cases, I still wonder about that sometimes. Hey, if you have a company, you have employees, you have benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you have payroll, HR, you've got to manage. If it's going swimmingly, then fantastic. I don't want to disrupt something that's working, but if it's not working, or if you're growing and you kind of need to look at some new options, or maybe you just wonder whether it could be better, that's why you call Torgerson Consulting. For more than 20 years locally, they've been helping businesses just like yours and ours do better at this stuff. I know personally, 5 years ago, we started using them at Cat Country and News Radio. They gave us better choices in health plans. They gave us choices. We really didn't have choices before. It was like, yes or no. Well, Yes. Now with them, it's more of an A, B, and C, you know, kind of thing. And then they're better at customer service, and we've been very, very satisfied with them. Now, they're not miracle workers. I will tell you that the marketplace is what it is. They cannot force health insurers to provide the actual plans we should be able to buy, but we can't because of Obama. Anyway, but still, they do great within what's available. And again, as customer service, they have been fantastic. So double thumbs up for me. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. Or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, should someone who has consistently demonstrated petty personal tyranny at a level of elected office ever be elevated to an even higher office, considering the impact of this particular character flaw upon the public interest? Well, yeah, I mean, that's... I'd have to say no. But, you know, give me my choice. How bad is the alternative is always the question.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Red wave for Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, backed by President Trump, trouncing four-term incumbent Senator John Cornyn in the Republican Senate runoff.
Paxton easily defeated Cornyn in the GOP runoff, 63-36%, another sign of the president's power over the GOP. President Trump had criticized Cornyn for not siding with him on some issues like ending the filibuster and the Save America Act. Still, Cornyn is promising to support the Republican ballot.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, President Trump said the potential for bad weather moves a critical cabinet meeting from the president's country retreat at Camp David to the White House. The cabinet will discuss the next steps in the war with Iran, and the U.S. military attacks another suspected drug trafficking vessel in the eastern Pacific. Central Command reports one man was killed, two others survived. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 75 degrees right now with cloudy skies this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, a fire yesterday at a South Myrick Street scrap metal recycling facility brought firefighters, crane operators, the Coast Guard, Escambia EMS, and multiple Pensacola City departments to the scene at Southern Recycling. Fire Chief Jenny Craner says the cause may never be pinned down, but there are several possibilities.
If you were speculating, it could be several different things. It could be a lithium ion battery. It could be a lightning strike that happened earlier in the day yesterday and just set a fire that smoldered. And that's why it's so difficult to know. But once these fires that are so deep-seated get going, we have combustible metals that are included in these types of debris. It really is any kind of scrap metal you can imagine.
And the fire at Southern Recycling was reported about 2 o'clock yesterday morning by a security guard who was alerted by the facility's thermal imaging system. Crews were able to get that fire mostly under control by 8 a.m., completely extinguished by around 11, using elevated master streams and 3 on-site crane operators to dig into the pile. It's the 4th fire at that facility in 2 years. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection confirmed no surface water issues and all runoff is contained on site. Northwest Florida projects are set to receive more than $30 million under the proposed state budget backed by Senator Don Gates. The University of West Florida would receive more than $9 million for infrastructure, cybersecurity, and digital credential programs. Pensacola State College is in line for $5.5 million for a new health sciences and nursing center. Other projects include funding for storm hardening at Baptist Gulf Breeze Hospital, research at the Andrews Institute, and local mental health and reentry programs. The budget does still need final approval from lawmakers, which is expected later this week. Florida State University's Inspire program is offering free robotics training for K-12 teachers in Northwest Florida this summer. The week-long Robo 101 course covers robotics, artificial intelligence, and engineering design for the classroom. Sessions are scheduled in Bay County, July 6th through 12th, and Okaloosa County, the 13th through the 17th. The program is now in its third year and offers 9 free professional development workshops. Santa Rosa County Animal Services is hosting a low-cost drive-through pet vaccination and microchip clinic on Saturday. That'll be held from 9 to 11 a.m. at the shelter on Pine Forest Road in Milton. Services available at that drive-through service include rabies vaccinations, microchipping, and additional vaccines for cats and dogs. 534 here at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast from meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. On Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Keeping rain chance in the forecast for your Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 83. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 75 and cloudy right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of SK Hynix jumped as much as 11% this morning, lifting the South Korean chipmaker's market capitalization above $1 trillion as investors continue to pile into artificial intelligence-linked semiconductor stocks. The rally extended a blistering run that has seen SK Hynix shares skyrocket about 250% since the start of the year. As Elon Musk prepares to lead SpaceX into the public markets, there's growing chatter that his goal is to combine the company with Tesla. CNBC reports that Musk has discussed with colleagues the possibility of folding the companies together. Tesla and SpaceX already share engineers and collaborate on solving issues tied to power and compute constraints. Unionized workers at Samsung Electronics have approved a highly contentious deal on bonus pay, one that averts a massive strike. Two unions for the world's largest memory chipmaker said that 74% of the roughly 62,000 workers who cast their votes had backed the agreement. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
A lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Petronis is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. He joins us now. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
All right. I am tempted to make this the last one because I think it's the most interesting thing we're going to talk. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'll go ahead and lead with it because I think it's absolutely fascinating. You have proposed a bill, filed a bill dealing with firearm freedom, the Firearm Freedom Act. Tell us what's in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically the provision in federal law that makes machine guns only accessible through a licensure permitting process, we're repealing that provision of law. So basically you'd be able to buy a machine gun.
Like I can go into, you know, gyms or I can go into academy or where I can just go buy a machine gun?
If they decide to sell them.
Okay. What prompted this?
You know,
aside from really it would be awesome. Okay. Aside from I've always wanted an Uzi or a fully automatic AK or, you know, I get all that, but just you tell me, how'd we get here?
We get lots of outreach on bill proposals, and I hope people that are listening know that the reason why I keep my DMs open on Twitter is just so people can reach out to me. We get a lot of good leads from folks, but this was something that was brought to us and didn't think about it really until they brought the bill to us and I said, why not? You know, why do we continue to put more impediments to owning firearms? So anyway, I put the provision in place as a standalone bill, and we'll see if we get some traction with it. We're trying to move it.
Have you gotten any reaction from fellow members of Congress yet, pro or con?
No, literally, it just popped last week.
Okay, all right, very good. So yeah, obviously So obviously the gun grab crowd, public safety crowd, the people who are against, you know, all the mass shootings we have are going to say, good Lord, man, you just want to put automatic weapons in the hands of, you know, anybody who's crazy enough to go shoot up a place. You're again raising the level of threat that those people constitute to public safety, our kids, businesses, whatever.
There'll be those that say that. Yeah. But I mean, I'm also the same guy who's co-sponsored. There's two different bills that basically do reciprocity across our nation for any concealed weapons permit. So, I mean, right now, if you wanted to have a concealed weapon in, say, the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., you basically have to, you know, sacrifice your child in order to get that permit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's ridiculous that if you're, you know, have the necessary training that goes into owning a concealed weapon, then you should be able to have it in other states. So, again, trying to preempt local states, local jurisdictions, state jurisdictions in order to create reciprocity. I just think it's common sense.
You know, it is interesting thinking about the idea of having legal machine guns that or, you know, fully automatic, you know, what we call them now, sporting rifles like an AR-15 or an AK-47 or something like that. You know, most people, I think a lot of people anyway, kind of lose their minds at that idea. I think of it as, you know, have you ever actually fired one of these guns and how quickly you can fire, even at semi-automatic rate, you can fire. Plus you got bump stocks and y'all got all kinds of technology that can accelerate the rate of fire. And frankly, if, you know, not to pretend to be some military expert or whatever, but if I'm in a scenario where I'm shooting, I would prefer to have single shot because my aim is better and I can control the ammunition better. All you're going to do with an automatic weapon is run out of bullets fast and not hit anything. Typically, you know,
I've never shot a fully automatic weapon, but I agree with you. You know, I've got a assault rifle, and it's pretty impressive how the mechanisms work as fast as they do when you decide to pull the trigger. So
right. Yeah,
all the above, you're going to be more accurate with a semi-automatic because you put more thought into each shot.
I gotta believe that I'm sorry, did I cut you off? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
The part of the motive here also, it seems to me, is so many of the law cases and the convictions against people like, you know, veterans who have suffered a disability and need to have like the stabilizing pistol grip and that, you know, all of the arguments around what doesn't qualify as a machine gun, for example, have largely adversely affected, you know, people that were trying to protect their ability to get firearms, it seems to me. And so if you take away those definitional categories, you actually might eliminate some of these sort of frivolous and or harassment style lawsuits. You're taking away the ATF's ability to prosecute people for technicalities, right?
Well, I scratch my head sometimes if what the real purpose of some of these federal agencies are. You know, the ATF, I can question things that they do. And you've got, I think, in the District of Columbia alone, inside of Washington, D.C., I think there's 52 different law enforcement agencies. Okay. You know, State Department's got its own police department, Secret Service, Park Police, DC Metro, Capitol Police. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, you think about all these different fiefdoms that are out there and all these territorial overlaps, and you know, and some of these folks like to, you know, we got our own law enforcement agents because we have somebody to enforce just our statutes. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
You've also filed a bill, the I think it's a veterans bill to help people keep both benefits and retirement pay. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, it's the Major Richard Starr Act. We are a co-sponsor to the bill. The bill's lead is Gus Bilirakis out of the Pasco County area of Florida. Gus is a good man, has been a very outspoken leader on a lot of veterans issues over the years. And so the Major Richard Starr Act would just do exactly that. If you're on disability, it would allow you to collect your retirement benefits. We'll probably see. I've gotten the impression that there's going to be a pretty significant veterans package that is going to roll out of committee here in the next week. So we may see Richard Starr folded into that because it's got a lot of following. Secretary Hegseth came out last week in advocating for the legislation. So you might see a bunch of the things that they've been wanting to do, veterans related, all put together in one piece of legislation.
Also, of course, it was Memorial Day yesterday. I want to give you a chance to comment on that. What did you do? And what is it? Obviously, this area, it's a very important, you know, holiday in this area.
Yeah, I was in Fort Walton yesterday at the VFW 235. We probably had, I would say, close to 300 people there. Because of the rain, we went indoors and we did the flower ceremony. We read through the list. When we were really more focused yesterday on the Gold Star families, and just making sure, you know, that's where my comments were driven. The colonel that spoke, that's where his comments were driven, because of there are those families every single day that have an empty seat at their dinner table. Birthdays, anniversaries, those special occasions are not the same because their loved one who gave a full measure to give us the freedoms that we currently have are no longer with us. And so, I mean, I know that the Memorial Day for some is you know, big shopping day, barbecue, you know, all that stuff. It's a 3-day weekend, but we should always be focused on what the true importance of Memorial Day, why it exists, and especially in this part of the country. It's significant because of the thousands of families it touches in Northwest Florida.
Yeah, I heard a very small clip from President Trump's speech yesterday, and I thought the line was quite good, where he said, you know, basically, without Memorial Day, there'd be no Independence Day. And that's a pretty important way to think about it. Speaking of President Trump, he has apparently now thrown his weight behind permanent daylight saving time, that we would get rid of the fall back, that basically the time now would be the time forever. I've asked you about this before because we've been waiting for years on a House sponsor for a bill that the Senate had said yes to and the state of Florida had said yes to for the state of Florida. But now Trump is like, let's just do it for everybody. What do you think? Is this likely to happen?
Yeah, I think so. So I was talking, you know, Senator Scott has been championing this bill. I believe Marco had it for a while and then Senator Scott picked it up. And so Senator Scott got the bill teed up in the Senate. So as I was talking to Senator Scott earlier, we've got a representative out of the Sarasota area, Vern Buchanan and Greg Stube. I think both of them have the Florida, the House version of it, and it is moved out of committee. So this thing is getting aligned where, yeah, it sounds like we are on the verge of just getting rid of this frustration we have twice a year.
So I'm for it. But I take the note that when we did this in 1974, it took less than a year for us to undo it because you had a lot of kids getting hurt and killed, and you had people frustrated about the time of day when they were leaving from work and going to work. I mean, you know, we tried it, and it was so short-lived, you know, under the Carter administration. Let's see, 73, it'd be before Carter.
It'd have been four.
Yeah, it would have been four. Thank you. So does that concern you at all, or do you just figure, like, this will be different?
No, that's one of the awesome things about calling your show. It's like Wikipedia. I didn't know that we had tried it once before till just now. So, you know, I'm game. You know, whenever we have those changes in schedule, yeah, there's definitely just about a week of just painful frustration, but let's rip the Band-Aid off and get rid of this thing.
Okay, hopefully. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it to you before, and if I have, I apologize for repeating myself, but let me make my 10-second case for standard Earth time. Instead of having time zones, we should have one time for the whole globe, and so people in California might go to work at 6 a.m., and people in Washington, D.C. might go to work at 9 a.m., but because we're going into space and we're talking about moon time and Mars time and all that kind of stuff, if we just had one time for the whole planet, then nobody would ever have to do the calculation. I'll call you at 6 p.m. I'll call you. Now, of course, some people are going to be going to work at 3 a.m., but they would just have to adapt to that. So this is my one plug for Earth time.
So, we've got time zones on the other side of the world where they're 30 minutes off from a neighboring time zone. Because the two countries there hate each other so much, they don't want to be on the same time as their enemies.
Right. North Korea, I know, has a funky, weird time zone because of that,
so
too.
Crazy. So.
Anyway, I know you I know you can't accomplish Earth time, but I just like to talk about it because I know it's crazy.
Yeah, I think you need to talk to Elon.
All right. I have been very critical of this anti-weaponization fund, which will be $1,776,000,000, so it's 1776. This is the settlement. The Trump administration settled with the Trump administration, essentially, because he was suing, and then the Department of Justice and the IRS, and they're not going to audit his taxes back for 10 years. It wasn't meant to be a $10 billion lawsuit. Now there's a settlement. Look, in my opinion, no organization should be settling anything with itself with the people's money. I don't care how good the cause is or how corrupt the cause is. It doesn't matter. There should always be separation, checks and balances, and that kind of stuff. It bothers me, even if it was for a dollar, but it certainly bothers me for $2 billion. And we're not even going to find out who gets paid for this stuff. Your thoughts?
Well, the Senate has really riled up over this issue as it's become a point of contention with them. I do see your point where, you know, a party shouldn't be settling with itself. Unfortunately, we do have things that happen in D.C., that are a conflict of interest, and that's where it's the role of Congress that's going to have to step up and intervene if there's something that is not that our constituents want us to see move forward. So this is exactly what the Senate is doing. I think there's definitely those issues that have happened this last most recent four-year window when President Trump was out of office, where there was a weaponization of the government. There was some of that was taking place before he was in office the first time, where there was a documented effort by those that were against it, call it the deep state, call it wherever you want, that truly did not want to see Donald Trump enter the White House. There are those that like the way the government works, and an outsider would have definitely upset their ability to make a living in Washington because of the transparency he's brought in. So, I see where you're coming. This is going to be something that I think will be debated. And I do think that the president will, you know, sometimes he throws out pretty, interesting, out of the box ideas that do not end up moving forward. So we'll see how this one goes. Does the settlement stick? Or does the Congress step in and put some different guardrails in place?
Yeah, and I mean, even putting in things like an oversight board, not handpicked by the president, that are going to operate in the sunshine, in transparency, so that we can see the deliberations, where's the money going? That to me is a baby step, but at least something like that, and let alone the whole thing itself. I did want to also ask you, just because I think it's fascinating, I had meant to talk with you about this last week, we just didn't get a chance. This H.R. 6644, the Road to House Housing Act, wide, massive bipartisan support. It's still hung up a little bit in negotiation between the Senate and the House, but this is the one that, for example, would limit the number of houses that any investment company could own to rent. This is the thing they're doing now, is they're building whole subdivisions just to rent them. The way that seems to displace home ownership and interfere with the market. But there were a bunch of provisions in this bill. I think you voted for it, but tell me where we're at on this one.
Yeah, so there was in the House, we had some heartburn over some provisions that Elizabeth Warren was advocating for. And in the Senate, it's a little harder to break away some of the provisions that maybe a Democrat puts in that aren't going to be necessarily going to be accepted by the Republican side of the House of Representatives. So we had some contentions on some issues. The president has weighed in. There is a concern about the free market language in it? Should we be getting involved of not allowing an investment group? So there are some guardrails in place. I think one of the provisions that was taken out of the bill was after you, if you're one of these investment groups, after 7 years, you must sell the house.
Yeah.
Or the investment you made. I believe that provision was taken out. Because at the same time, I see the slippery slope. You don't want to discourage people from investing in construction of homes. At the same time, you want to ensure that monopolies aren't created regionally, where, you know, the actual ability to own a house is almost impossible.
Right.
So there's that slippery slope there of that language. Because I do think there was some abuse in areas where there was maybe a scarcity of availability of affordable housing.
Right.
But, you know, housing right now is higher now than it's ever been. And at the same time, there is housing around the country that is quite affordable. Nobody wants to live in New York or Illinois or California. They're fleeing those markets. So, I mean, there are those parts of the country where affordability exists, but nobody wants to live there.
Absolutely. Jimmy Petronis, he's our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. you never know. let's just put it that way. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for a good place to eat today, let me recommend Reservoir. It's a great new fine casual is how I describe it. It's a creation of Casey Jones and his wife, City Councilman Casey Jones. It's right there across the street from the skate park downtown on Hayne and Jackson's kitty corner to the police station. It's the old Milano Brothers corner store that's been renovated now and has been open for, gosh, I guess about a year. Casual upscale, kind of a coffee shop vibe, breakfast, lunch, dinner, Saturday brunch, sandwiches, burgers, Cubans, shrimp and grits, oysters, scallops, filet, sausage and biscuits, or should I say Kaneka? Recca sausage and biscuits, handcrafted coffee, tea, local, you know, beer on tap. I mean, all the things. It's a really wonderful little place. Anyway, go by there. Voted best new restaurant in Pensacola by In Weekly, Reservoir on Hayne and Jackson.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected. Continuing to grow. And never losing sight of who we serve. Pennair Credit Union. 90 years strong.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
If only you had been born a man. What a Caesar you would have made.
Good morning, 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We had a Navy jet crash yesterday in Mississippi. It's based at NAS Meridian. It's part of the training fleet that trains for Training Wing 1. We have Training Wing 6 here that trains the backseaters on the T-45 Goshawk. That's the jet that you see up in the sky, the red and white one, mostly white, but some red. It's a loud one, if you want to think of it that way. The jet, not the propeller. That's the T-6. It is based out of Whiting and some elsewhere. But the Goshawk is the jet. Oh, goodness. Wow, that one came on me fast. All right. Happy sneeze day. But this, it trains the pilots. We train the backseaters, the NFOs. They train the front seaters, the pilots. And one of those crashed. Both airmen got out safely. They ejected, you know, just fine. Thank God to the ejection seat and the maker thereof. Being evaluated medically to make sure that everything was fine. But again, that's the same kind of jet that we fly. They had to bail out of it. It did crash in Meridian yesterday. Nobody was hurt. But, you know, those are our people, right? You know, that's where they go after they do the T6 Texan, either at Corpus Christi or at Whiting. They go over to Meridian to learn, you know, jets, or they go to backseats here.